was watching recently a individual that's promoting survival means, and they were basically saying that for survival in the wilderness, it's not necessarily fire or shelter or water that's needed. It's a good attitude. It's being positive that's really needed, because without it, you can end up dead very quickly, because it affects how we act, how we react to certain things. It's interesting, as we think about wilderness complaints, we of course think about the Israelites and how they tested Yahweh 10 times. And we'll take a look at these in this today, but not all 10, because we won't have time to go through all of them. But there's I heard that as different nations have been asked about what they think about Americans, they think we're a bunch of complainers, interestingly enough. Maybe it's because we have a high standard. Maybe it's because we want the best. Maybe this is something that's built in to us, character-wise, by Yahweh. But it seems like that's not the way to go. We need to move our complaints into good action. Not to be complaining, but to be joyful, to be happy, to know that Yahweh will see us through any difficulty that that's before us. 10 times Israel tested Yahweh. They sinned because they did not listen to His voice, His word, nor His commandments. We're going to apply some lessons for our own day and see the applications for our own lives. Today we're going to do this based upon the 10 times Israel tested Yahweh. If you would, turn to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 22 through 23. It says, "Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it." And so we have a warning. We're told, this example, not to do what they did. It's written down for our admonition. One of the first complaints that was committed was at the Red Sea, right after Yahweh performed a number of events, miracles, to bring them out. And it's interesting. In Exodus 14, in verse 12 or verse 11, we read of this. "But they were brought to the point when it looked like no hope. In fear, they regretted their decision to leave Egypt, and pointed backward and not forward. But in Exodus 14:11 we read, "Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us out away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, "Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Amazing. After all the miracles, after seeing how Yahweh dealt with the Egyptians, and those in Goshen experienced, the Israelites experienced the initial outpouring of Yahweh's wrath on Egypt, and they still seemed to forget that once they got to the Red Sea and they saw the army behind them, they saw the sea before them, and they were basically between a rock and a hard place. They weren't sure what was going to happen. They felt worried. They felt disconnected, I guess you could say, and they felt like they were going to die. But that's something that has been written down for us. So what were they told? Exodus 14, verse 13 through 15. "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of Yahweh, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Yahweh will fight for you while you keep silent.' Then Yahweh said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward.'" So the blessing was they escaped from any harm, though the enemy pursued them. with the intent to kill them. And of course they knew this. The lesson and application for us today: do we get unsettled because of problems that arise within our lives? Does it ever feel like you're going to, or you're being under attack, struggling with family, work issues, or something else? I mean, these things arise. Well, from what we see, from what we've seen already, we know that we don't need to worry about the situation. In other words, we don't need to lose hope. Does it ever feel like you're under attack? You know, realize, especially if you are newly baptized or seeking to be baptized in Yahshua's name, that the enemy, Satan, has his sights, his crosshairs on you. In general, he would like the whole assembly, or he has the whole assembly in mind that he would like to destroy and crumble into nothingness. Yahweh is not going to allow it, though. Yahshua promised the gates of Hades would not overpower it. And so we have promises. Yahweh is not going to allow it. And Satan cannot overpower you because the power of Yahweh's Spirit is stronger within you than the spirit of Satan in the world. This is why we don't need to worry. Move forward. Don't give up. Look past problems and focus on the future. Pull up your bootstraps, so to speak. Be a strong soldier. Stand firm. Stand guard. Be courageous. Yahweh promised not to forsake nor leave us. A weightlifter will have a spotter. Yahweh is that spotter for us. And yes, we have a number of weights that we have to lift at times. But he is allowing certain things in our lives to help us grow spiritually. It is a sure thing, too, that he'll sometimes test us to see if we'll trust him as a spotter in our lives. A second test that happened was at Marah, which means bitter, and the Israelites were thirsting for 3 days. Well, it's a well-known fact that you can't, in a survival situation, you cannot survive without water that long. 3-4 days, and you're pretty much done for. So Yahweh allowed the Israelites to come to a point where they thought, you know, without any water, there's honors. Does he allow us to come to a point, maybe even to where we think we're going to break? Well, I think sometimes he can't allow it. He certainly allowed it with Job, who Satan was allowed to do his dirty work with Job. But Yahweh was fully aware, and Yahweh didn't allow more to occur to Job than what Job could handle. I'm sure Yahweh understood, and Yahweh knew what Job could handle. But at Marah, Exodus 15, 22 through 26, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Then he came to Marah. They could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them, and said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of your Elohim, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes." You know, what's the Spirit for? What are we given at baptism? Ezekiel 36:26. Of course, we know it well. "But give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, and I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, Yahweh, am your healer." The blessing. The bitter water was made sweet. They were able to be refreshed at Elim with the date trees. Exodus 15, verse 27, we read, "Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there besides the water." The lesson and application for us: do we sometimes feel exhausted and distraught, not knowing when relief will come? Do we feel like giving up when our expectations sometimes turn out to be more of a burden for us than relief that we were hoping for? For example, you get your motor fixed in the car, but then the transmission goes out. Or you get a job that turns out to be worse than the previous one you left. You get sick, but rather than getting better, you get worse. These things happen. happened to Job. We can expect certain things to happen to us. The test here for the people, though, was to obey Yahweh's word. But has anything changed? That's a test for us, too. Especially knowing that we have to strive to do better than just keeping the Sabbath holy or not stealing, but also the weightier matters as well. Justice, mercy, faithfulness, extending your hand to help someone in need, being the Good Samaritan, love in action, while being obedient to the law. It's not easy at times, but it's guaranteed. It's a guaranteed process to help us to grow. It's something we need to go through. Does Yahweh promise to help us? Yes, again and again. He is still spotting us, protecting us, healing us, and helping us in the ways that we need. And he doesn't allow us to go through more than what we can handle. There is a man who is born without arms and without legs, a thalidomide baby, who was born into this world. Today he preaches the best he can about what he knows about the Father, about his Son. And a lot of people are amazed, and they think about their own lives and how silly it is for them to complain. And I think we can think about things like this as well. I was watching a program recently about a third world country in which their lives are in such agony that they are doing anything that they can to be able to get out from that area, because it's not only a hostile area, it's a troublesome area, a wilderness area. Not much rain, not much greenery, not much to look at. Just wasting disease at times. So it's difficult. Will we see that kind of difficulty here? I suppose it's possible. As this nation pulls further and further from helping Israel and sets itself up as something that it's really not, it's hard to say how far things will go. Though thirsty, we are promised that our thirst will be quenched, and we can think of this spiritually and also physically. There's also the testing of Yahweh in the wilderness of sin. Though Israel's thirst was satisfied, they found reason to grumble against their hunger, because of their hunger. In Exodus 1 through 4, we read, "Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation, the sons of Israel, grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by Yahweh's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat. We ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger.' Then Yahweh said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction.'" So again, it's testing, it's seeing what we'll do. And we do have free will. We can break away from Yahweh's spirit. We can cause that spirit to be quenched and to be removed from us. Yahweh is not going to stand for wickedness within us. We're the temple today, and we have Yahweh's spirit within us if we don't cause it to depart. But the blessing among Israel at this time was they were given manna. So Yahweh's still working with them. He's still blessing them. And they said, "What is it?" Because they'd never seen it before. A lesson application for us is, if we haven't already gotten the message, it's the following. Don't complain. Stop complaining. Because we will be provided for. Again, this is a trial. It is a test. Yahweh is giving instruction to Israel, and they are expected to follow it. We are given instructions both by Yahweh's word and by His Spirit. We are not to ignore them, but rather rely on them. We don't always understand, but we are not to rely on our own understanding. Isn't that in Scripture as well? So we're learning. We're reading the Word. We're submitting to Yahweh's Spirit as it guides us. And we're learning. And we're growing. Are you having difficulty with a spouse or an employer? Are you growing more resentful because of his or her treatment of you? Be an example of love to them. Let them see the Messiah, how he acts and reacts in these different situations. Put on your best foot forward, not a condescending kick towards them, but a sincere attitude of cooperation and love. Ask yourself, what would Yahshua do? He was peaceful. He was Gentile. And he kept his peace at times. He didn't always show his disgust for all the stupidity that was around him. And there was at times. And we are stupid at times. And we sometimes even hurt those that we love. I told a sister who wore a new outfit. In fact, we had a couple sisters today. They were wearing the same outfit. I couldn't believe it. Neither could they. We took a picture of it. Maybe we can put that out there later. But even the pattern of the sweaters that they were wearing was the same. Very unusual, right down to the boots, black boots. Well, there's a sister I said that she was wearing a blue outfit. It was a nice outfit. But I said, oh, you look like a nurse today. I don't think that went over too well. It wasn't mean-spirited about it. It just, you know, happened to be a stupid comment. And I never did, to this day, ever see her wear that blue dress again. So she didn't want to look like a nurse, I don't think. Exodus 16, verse 16 through 20, we find instructions concerning manna. Those that didn't listen to Moses had worms and stench to deal with. Exodus 16, verse 16, this is what Yahweh has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer, a piece, according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Verse 19, Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it until morning. But they did not listen to Moses, and left a part of it until morning. And it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. And sometimes we have a righteous anger towards some that we think should be doing something a certain way. In fact, sometimes we know they should be doing something a certain way. And sometimes we have to go talk to them. You know, Matthew 18:15, it's our instruction. But I'm sure Yahweh was not pleased at this, you know, either. But the blessing was, they were still blessed. At least those that obeyed were blessed because they didn't have to deal with the worms and the stench. You know, the lesson application for us, don't we suffer the consequences of our own actions? Are there lessons to be learned, like don't do what is wrong? In this section, we see a distinction of those that obeyed compared to those who don't. Isn't that the lesson for us? Is Yahweh holy? Leviticus 19, verse 2 through 3 says, speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh says to be holy and then shows we are also to follow his word given from his Spirit. We want to recognize the correct spirit within us and not push past or do our own will, which would, of course, be against his word because they're in unity. They're not against each other. But the Spirit and the Word are against the evils in this world. We have a conscience, unless we sear it. We have Yahweh's Spirit active in our lives, unless we quench it. And for those baptized in Yahshua, Yahweh has given a portion of His Spirit and heart to follow, and spiritual eyes to see. Israel of the past did not have the Spirit within them, as Yahweh's people do today. And think about being sensitive to Yahweh's Spirit. We do have to recognize that there are deceiving spirits in the world. What do deceiving spirits do? They go out deceiving people. How do we discern a deceiving spirit? By testing it against Yahweh's word. If it doesn't match up, then there's something wrong. The parable of wheat and tares says that when the wheat becomes evident, then the tares will show up too. Do we see anything like that today? While seeing a resurgence of truth in the times that we live in, do we also see an increase of doctrines of demons? Do we know that they're doctrines of demons? Do we hear of any strange doctrines today? Any that you've heard? They are out there. And I'm not talking about the obvious ones, such as the so-called Sunday Sabbath or Trinity or pre-trib rapture. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." There are those today, for example, teaching Paul was a heretic and that his word cannot be trusted. They have basically thrown most of the New Testament out by doing so, because Paul was a prolific writer and inspired under Yahweh's Spirit. We've seen people do this, fall away listening to different false teachings. In this particular one of saying that Paul was not, you know, righteous, that he was a heretic, this type of thing, there have been brethren that have fallen away because of that. And they basically, not too long after doing so, throw out the New Testament. And they go back to basically Judaism as it's seen today, with the different traditions that are out there. Again, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. If I can digress here a little, I think all of this ties in a little bit to what we're talking about. If we complain, we're like the guy trying to lift a heavy barbell, saying to the spotter, the one helping us, "I don't trust you're going to help me with this weight." Or, "I don't trust you're able to keep it from crushing me." Or, "Is there someone else that can take my place?" I mean, these are the kind of attitudes that we could have. And they go from bad to worse. Deceitful spirits and false doctrines lead to more doubt and more trouble. Remember how Satan influenced Adam and Eve? By causing doubt. He said, "Did Yahweh really say?" Doubt can cause us to lose the battle or weight that we are struggling with. And without Yahweh, we will struggle with any weight. And we'll eventually give up. But it's Satan's doing. In our own free will, I mean, we can submit to Satan's will. We don't want to, but though it is possible. But we're given a spirit to overcome, and that spirit is stronger than Satan's. We don't want to be like the bitter root that grows up like a weed. We want and need to be the wheat that produces good and healthy fruit. We want and need the good soil. We need to stand clearly separated from weeds. We do so in attitude, doctrines, actions that match those of the Messiah. And with Him and Yahweh in our life, nothing is impossible. They will help us to lift and bear the weight in any trial or tribulation that they allow to come our way. But we must not complain nor entertain doubtful thoughts, because that will get us off in the wrong direction. It will get us off on a bunny trail. We must believe all things are possible to him who believes. Next time, we'll look at what we can learn from ancient Israel's complaints and the testing of Yahweh, because there are lessons and applications for all of us in reviewing what they did and how they did it. We need to be better. We need to exceed. And we need to follow Yahweh's lead. And Yahweh blessed.